I'd like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blossom. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please!
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter. It serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Then I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush. The latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hall.
Well, I know this is old news, but I didn't get to talk about it. Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson got paid. And he handled it without an agent.
The most electrifying man in all of entertainment.
Get this done. It's over. The saga is over. He signed on Thursday. They agreed to terms on a 5-year, $260 million contract. His new deal includes $185 million in total guarantees. How about that? He's now the highest paid player. And he's given his mom $8 million of it. She was kind of his agent. So it's Lamar, and then it's Jalen. Jalen's number 2. Aaron Rodgers. Still looks weird. Just this clean-cut Rodgers now with the Jets. Can't get past it. Russell Wilson's up there still in the top 5. And then Kyler Murray. Oh, we'll see what happens with the Baltimore Ravens now that they got this deal done. But I'm happy because I want to see Lamar Jackson play football. Don't care if Baltimore wins or loses. I mean, at the end of the day, it's not what it's about. I just like seeing him play football.
I think an interesting side effect of this contract was Herbert and Burrow both had their 5th-year options picked up.
Yeah.
So they're not going to get an extension until 2 years. So it was like, hey, we were going to reset the market, but Lamar just did it times 2.
And they're probably going to reset the market in 2 years.
Yep.
It's just going to keep going up. That's how it is. The more money that gets poured into the NFL, the more these guys are going to make. Makes sense. Basic economics. Bills signed veteran running back Latavius Murray to a 1-year deal. So Latavius, I thought that was going to work out. His connection with Sean Payton, what he did for the Broncos the last year, you know, I thought it might work for him, but Broncos had other plans.
It's a good chance he comes available again.
Probably so. But did sign a 1-year deal after the draft was over to play for the Buffalo Bills. I wanted to take this moment too to go through some of the local names out there as far as undrafted guys that signed. The Colts signed former Wyoming Cowboys running back Titus Swen. That's where he went. I'm going to be honest. I didn't even know he declared for the draft. And we have Cody Tucker on all the time from 7220. I thought Titus just left the team and was going to do something because he had a year left of eligibility, but that snuck past me. It's like, oh, they signed him. But he didn't get drafted. They signed him free agency. Another running back from the University of Northern Colorado. Elijah Dotson signed with the Chargers. Is he replacing Austin Eckler?
I think so.
There's your replacement.
Well, it worked. We went to this small school in Colorado.
Hey.
I guess it worked again.
Yeah.
At least Austin was like, hey, go check out this guy at UNC.
At least UNC gave Elijah Dotson a chance, unlike, you know, what they did with Austin Eckler. The Jags.
Do we get to claim Dotson because he was only here for a year?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you go to CBS or ESPN, whatever it is, they have a listed Northern Colorado.
Okay.
So he's ours. We get to say that. Good job, Ed McCaffrey. You got something. Do you think he put out a congratulatory message to Eli or Elijah? Or do you think that that's admitting that he coached for UNC?
I couldn't tell you what Ed's up to these days.
I wanted to check while we're here. These are the important things that need to be looked at. No. Mm-mm. No, he did not. The Jags picked up a linebacker from CSU, DaQuan Jackson. That's a good dude right there. Love that guy. Eagles picked up a tight end from CU. Great first name, by the way, Brady Russell. He's going to be rock and roll. I think he might do okay. We'll see. And then the Ravens got a D-tackle from CSU and Trey Botts. So those are some of the names. I might have missed a few, but not a crazy haul there for the local scene, but
give it a couple years.
Give it a couple years. Get these guys back up and rolling again, and we'll hopefully see some names getting into the NFL. First, I think there's a plenty more I've missed. Those are just some of the notable ones that I wanted to look at. Two CSU guys, at least. Go play for Jay Norvell. It's a good chance you're, well, not a good chance. There's a chance you could go to the NFL. I wanted to wait for the music to fade down for this one because this is just a sad one. Shaq Barrett, former CSU Ram, former Denver Bronco, plays for the Tampa Bay Bucks, an amazing talent, good, a great guy. His two-year-old daughter, Araya, drowned in a swimming pool at his home in Tampa, Florida, on Sunday. The Buccaneers said this in a statement. Today's tragic news is heartbreaking for all members of the Buccaneers family. Our thoughts and prayers are with Shaq, Jordana, and the entire Barrett family during this unimaginably difficult time. While no words can provide true comfort at a time such as this, we offer our support and love as they begin to process this very profound loss of their beloved Araya. So, man, just a scary, awful, terrible, terrible, unimaginable thing that happened. And it's just, you know, you're thinking about this guy and praying for his family. And he's always had, you know, just a great way about him. Not that it matters one way or the other, but one of the good guys there. And just so unfortunate to see something like this. Two-year-old daughter. According to a statement from the Tampa Police Department, officers arrived at a Tampa residence just before 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time after receiving a call that a child had fallen into a pool. The child was then transported to a local hospital and pronounced dead shortly later, despite attempts to save her life. Just to get that out there, I hate that we go there sometimes, but the Tampa PD did say the investigation's ongoing. However, it is not believed to be suspicious in nature at this time, but a purely accidental and tragic event, according to Tampa's PD police department statement. She was the youngest of four children in the Barrett family. Heart hurts for that man and that family right now. No question about it. 13 minutes after the hour. When we come back, we're going to catch up with Kyle Fredrickson from the Denver Gazette as we put the season to bed for the Colorado Avalanche. Didn't quite think it was going to go that way, but here we are. They lose Game 7. Now there's a lot of questions, and we'll see where we go from there. Spanish Sam, Ed Mack is private coaching. What does that mean? What is he doing?
He's running camps and training seminars for youth athletes, I'm guessing.
I guess.
From what his Twitter was saying.
He did post a picture of his camp and the fact that it was filling up fast. So he's got that coming up. He posted that like 5 days ago. I mean, he brought Elijah Dotson in, you know? I mean, he congratulated him for getting a Big Sky Awards. Why would he? And then he erased it, deleted it, and scrubbed his Twitter account. Why would he then come back and congratulate the guy for making it to the NFL? He wants no recollection or memory. He wants none of it. Forget that he ever coached at UNC. I mean, he didn't really act like he coached at UNC when he was here, to be honest. He would be on, like, NFL shows and stuff. I think Christian McCaffrey sported the brand more than Ed did. So why would he congratulate one of his former guys going in? I know. I shouldn't bash Ed. It's over. We've moved on. Just curiosity was killing my cat there, Angel. Wanted to see if he'd put out a congratulatory message to his guy.
I think some cuts are deeper than others.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just can't walk away and forget.
It was like he was a tornado, though, and comes through, and it's so exciting, and then bye.
Exciting tornado?
It was an exciting tornado. And then you realized, it's still a tornado.
Oh, God,
we're
look
all
at this
screwed.
Mess.
Spanish Sam says, exactly. Where? He's private coaching. Exactly. Nobody knows. 15 minutes after the hour, Kyle Fredrickson coming up next from the Denver Gazette. And let's talk about those Colorado Avalanche. He's right around the corner. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA. We'll be right back.
We're giving Coach Speak a whole new meaning. Hear Coach Speak weekdays 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Coloradoan. You are listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. You're listening to the whole show powered by PDC Energy. As we know, and we've discussed a little bit earlier today in the 11 o'clock hour, the Avs are done. They lost Game 7 to the Seattle Kraken. Joining us now to put the season to bed, so to speak, Kyle Fredrickson from the Denver Gazette. Kyle, first off, can we eliminate offsides? Can we make a move for that? I don't understand. I don't like it. Can we get rid of it?
Yeah, I'm no hockey purist either. You know, I'm kind of new to this, and I do think it would make for a much more higher scoring games, much more fast action, and teams would just have to adapt their playing style. But you know, if you're going to have one gripe after that game, I'll let that one slide. I can see that being a legit.
Yeah, these guys are so fast. Hockey's fast paced, fast, fast, fast. And we're expecting them to stop on a dime or whatever or wait for a guy. It's crazy. But there it is. That's my gripe. We're moving on. Season's over. A lot of drama to overcome, and not just drama with Val stuff, but the injuries and everything, Kale McCarr's situation in this series. Just it almost, you know, wonder if it was just exhausting for this team, Kyle.
Yeah, it did feel like they ran out of gas to a certain extent. You know, give the Avalanche credit. I do think that they played their best two games of the series in Game 6 and Game 7. They just ran into Philip Grubauer last night. That was a really big takeaway for me. But yeah, I mean, you know, Jared Bednar wasn't kidding when he said this is the most adversity he's ever seen as a head coach. I mean, there's only so much that you can prepare to happen for in a regular season and have contingency plans and other things ready to go to make a deep run. And, you know, this was still a team that won the Central Division and you know, made it to the playoffs despite all of that. You know, that's sort of the very optimistic view of how this ended. But, of course, this was a team that a lot of people thought was going to maybe be set up for a dynasty with the young core that it had, you know, the coaching, the culture, all of that. So the fact that you're out in the first round when you sort of had this big championship window that the Avs are still in, I think overall that's got to be seen as a disappointment as well.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Our poll question today is, are the Avs still in that championship window? And I think the easy answer is to say, well, as long as Nathan McKinnon's there and Mikko Rantanen's there, and I think Jared Bednar has kind of earned that praise, too, to be part of this, you know, at least as far as us giving him the respect and the benefit of the doubt. So I would say, yeah, they're still there.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I think for every team now with this hard salary cap in the NHL, you have to figure out what you're going to prioritize, your star players, who you're going to pay. And then you're going to have to, you know, kind of cobble together a team that's going to support that and stay under that cap and do it with a couple players on entry-level contracts who are going to play extremely well. So, you know, the fact that the Avs have that core of, you know, Rantanen, McKinnon, and McCarr, you know, it's arguably the very best in the league when you think about what each of those guys brings to the table. And they're here for a very long time. So, you know, I would expect quite a bit of roster turnover in the offseason. You know, maybe they re-sign a few of these guys, but the Avs have tough decisions to make. And, you know, the fact that this roster couldn't get the job done, I think at the end of the day, it's a good thing if we see a little bit of overhaul.
Yeah, the three guys you mentioned there, of course, and I left out Kale McCarr, but obviously, yeah, he's right there. Those three guys, obviously, and then you build around them, I suppose. So you think, okay, those three, Georgie, and then we're going to go to work? You might see some pretty crazy turnover happening.
Yeah, you know, if you just look at the list of guys who are entering, you know, unrestricted free agency, you know, JT Compher is a guy who gets brought up a lot just because he played that second center position. But there's other guys, Devon Toews, Andrew Cogliano, Jack Johnson, Eric Johnson, you know, some very big names on this team that I think the Avalanche fans should prepare to lose. You know, if you've got that jersey, you know, hang on to that thing or do with whatever whatever you want with it. But, you know, in my mind, I do see the Avalanche getting younger at a few positions, and, you know, maybe looking at the open market to see some free agents or trade additions who could help the squad right away.
Kyle Fredrickson joining us, Colorado Avalanche beat writer for the Denver Gazette. A lot of unpacking I want to get into, but I was off on Friday, so a lot of the news coming out about Valeri Nichushkin and that situation or what we think we know, I guess. First off, Kyle, if we can you kind of go into more what you know, at least at this point? And then kind of the second question is really, shouldn't we be fair and say, yeah, that probably weighed heavily on all of the players? I mean, this is a bizarre story either way you want to slice it. So that had to be a pretty big distraction.
Yeah, I mean, in a weird season, this was the weirdest thing that happened, right? And so, you know, just to take listeners through my experience with it, you know, I was actually received that Seattle police incident report while I was flying to Seattle. I had a late afternoon flight, so it was pretty stunning for me to open that and to see all my Twitter notifications and all the reporters who had been going to work on that. And, you know, it was to me a little bit shocking only because, you know, Val is not charged with a crime in any of this. But he is listed in the report as being part of a very sketchy situation with a very intoxicated woman in his hotel room, but he's nowhere really to be found, right? He's not quoted in the incident report. It doesn't seem as though police talked to him. It's unclear where he was when police arrived. And then you sort of couple that with this messaging from the team that it's still a personal matter and they're just really willing to say nothing. Yeah, I do think that it's fair that this was a distraction. You know, I don't know how much the players care about what's said and talked about in the media, but I'm sure that those guys have a very good understanding of what was going on. And you know, the bare facts here is that one of their very best players on the team left right when they needed him the most. You know, and if this was something where we needed to feel sympathy for Val or something was going on in his life, it would be great to know that. But as of right now, it sure seems like Val dropped the ball in some way or another. I mean, if you're going to be involved in some kind of police incident like this, and it's unfortunate for the Avalanche. So moving forward, I do think there are big question marks still. I'm still going to be trying to report about what happened there. I as of right now, there's no criminal investigation by Seattle PD over Val Nichushkin, but I don't think that it's impossible to say that could change based on what we know right now and really just the vague details of everything. But it's a bad look for the Avalanche, you know, and I think for a guy who just signed that 8-year contract extension, Val's going to have a lot to prove, you know, to be back with this team and to be that same level of contributor. So, you know, a lot could change, you know, in the next weeks or months or you know, even in the lead up to the season. But it's just a bizarre situation. And, you know, and I guess my final 2 cents would be my disappointment with the Avs is just, you know, failing to acknowledge a public record, right? I think the baseline in this situation is, hey, yes, fans, media, everyone, we are aware this is happening and we're handling it internally, right? I think that's the very minimum you do in this situation. And the Avalanche, you know, won't even go as far to do that. So it's disappointing. To me, it shows that maybe they're shielding themselves from the situation for more reasons, but I won't speculate on that yet. I'll just, you know, kind of keep asking around and seeing what's going down, because yeah, it's you know, for a team that really has a lot of good dudes and people who just seem to be some of the best people in sports, in my opinion, this really is kind of, you know, flying over all of our heads is something we're just not really used to.
Yeah, I mean, we've got the rapport and everything, and obviously whatever Val's part in all of this, which may be nothing. It's hard to believe that there's nothing because you left the playoffs. If this were a regular season week and it was just he's gone for a little bit, okay, it's still a story. But this is the playoffs, and you obviously lost the series. So that's where it's going, okay, there's something deeper here.
Yeah, I would agree, and like I said, I'll continue to keep asking about it because, yeah, it's not a normal situation, and you know, I think for the team to say that he's faced no, you know, discipline, or at least to not comment on it, is pretty disingenuous, right? I think any professional athlete in this state who is on a police report in a sketchy situation in his hotel room, that's not just going to be something the team says, oh, yeah, no worries. So, yeah, that's another part of this equation. It's, yeah, Val did something wrong, and clearly the Avalanche are upset with him.
So you have the Val thing. We obviously had the drama surrounding Cale Makar being suspended for Game 5, which I think that was frustrating for the simple fact that they downgraded the penalty in the right game, and that was frustrating. Then you see Andrew Cogliano just get his head driven into the boards. And I mean, he fractured his neck. He misses Game 7. So, I mean, and that's frustrating for fans, too, because, you know, you're punishing Cale Makar, and then this comes out with that hit from Eberle, and you're like, what? This is a little bit inconsistent. Your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'll just add to the chorus of people who is publicly wondering what, you know, the NHL Department of Safety is doing. I'm sure they have a hard job. And, you know, these are guys who essentially spend their entire season just looking at hits. So you would think that they would have a pretty good idea of what should be penalized and what should not be, you know, beyond what happens in the game with that supplemental discipline of suspension. So just to kind of, you know, in bare terms explain why this happened, the NHL, before they, you know, add injury into their equation of whether or not a hit is suspendable, the hit itself has to be deemed suspendable, right? Like, that health isn't taken into account in that first step. And with this hit, the league said, no, hey, just from looking at it, we don't think it's a suspendable hit. Jared Bednar would disagree with you. You know, of anyone, he had the strongest stance saying, hey, as a little kid, you know, you have a stop sign on your back so other people don't hit you in the numbers. And here's Eberle chasing down Makar, numbers the whole time, doesn't really waver. Cogliano doesn't really, you know, make any kind of movement to turn. And then he just blasts the guy into the board. So, yeah, I mean, Cogliano is one of the toughest dudes you're ever going to meet. But that's scary, right?
Yeah.
Right? He should not be playing in a game with a broken vertebrae. I mean, I guess they can't, like, give him that MRI in between periods, and they have to just take his word for it. But you know that, you know, there was some sort of pharmaceutical involved to get him numb, because there's just no way that any normal human being could go back into a game like that. So, that, I mean, that's a whole different conversation, but it's also part of just this hockey culture, right? I mean, it's if you're going to have a game where you're essentially knocking guys out in the playoffs as part of the league culture, you know, whether guys get suspended or not, it's going to be, you know, kind of subjective. And that's what Cale Makar said, right? He took the high road in talking about this in the dressing room before Game 7. Doesn't really matter, you know, at this point. It's, you just got to play playoff hockey and worry about what you're doing. But it's unfortunate for the Avs, right? It seems like they couldn't catch a break all series. You know, they had two goals in Game 6. And then in Game 7, waved off for offsides on plays that were later reviewed. So just seems like nothing could go right for this team. And if you're going to win the Cup, you got to get a little lucky.
Yeah, and that's true. I mean, you saw that last year. Obviously, they were a sensational team. But sometimes the puck needs to go your way a little bit.
Right,
you see
right.
that in any playoffs, and that just was not. It was just, and this is where I'm, you know, we were doing this, Kyle, last week, because we heard Giannis Antetokounmpo come out and say, hey, it's not considered a failed season
right,
if you don't win
right.
the championship. So we've been making comparisons. I'm talking out two sides of my mouth, but for some reason, I look at the Avs and go, I mean, yeah, you could say it's a failed season because that's the goal. Everybody's a failure that doesn't win a title. However, my expectations for the Milwaukee Bucks was to compete for a title. For the Avs, especially as the season progressed with all the injuries, I didn't have any expectations. So it's hard for me to really rip them to shreds.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, it felt like this team just sort of gave fans false hope.
Maybe
how hard
yeah.
they played at the end of the year, right? I mean, it's a credit to them. It's, you know, they worked their butts off to get home ice advantage in the first two rounds. You get knocked out in the first round, you're almost like, well, what did you do all that work for anyway? You know, just joking, of course. But
sure,
yeah, I mean, this is a team that really fought so hard, tooth and nail, just to get there, that when they got to the first round, they faced a team that, yeah, they were new to this. They weren't really sure what the playoffs were going to be like. They had guys with experience, but they were young and they were hungry, and there was just probably this little added element of just desire that, let's be honest, the Avs maybe just didn't have this year. And, you know, I've said it before, I think, you know, talking to you, but Nathan MacKinnon to me is always a barometer of the honesty of the room and like how everyone's feeling. And as soon as that game ended, all the reporters go to him first, knowing that he's short and knowing that, you know, he's going to have something interesting to say. And something that stood out to me was he was like, yeah, you know, we said all the right things all year, you know, like we're trying to win this all these games and get back to the final. But it's just look at what happened, you know, look at all the guys we missed. I mean, just winning the Central alone was an accomplishment. You know, Nate's not a moral victory guy, but even in those, you know, moments right after the series ended, he already had that clarity. And to me, that shows an Avalanche team that, yes, they're confident, they wanted to win the Cup, but in the back of their minds, they realized that, you know, just the fact that they were there was a big statement. And you know, it was unlikely in itself. So to be surprised by the result would be to ignore that reality.
Yeah, and even though I picked the Avs to win this based on nothing, based on just kind of wanting the Avs to win.
Right. But and they have the top-end talent, sure. So it's not crazy to think they would. I mean, everyone in the national media did. I picked the Avs in 7, and I was wrong, too.
Well, but I think it's refreshing to hear Nathan MacKinnon because it is, I hate this phrase, but I'm going to use it. It is what it is. Sometimes you just have to look at the situation and go, okay, they were without that guy, without that guy. That guy left the playoffs. That guy couldn't play because he got suspended. That guy got his neck almost fractured or whatever. At some point, you can say it. You don't have to make it sound like an excuse, but we're just calling it out. When you are without that many of your key guys, key depth guys, it is going to make an impact, and to ignore that is reckless.
Yeah, and here's another thing to think about, too, if you're an Avalanche fan. Would you rather watch this team play maybe 2 more rounds, play through the month of May, a lot of fun hockey, but still not win the Cup? And then all of a sudden your off season is a month shorter, and you played all those extra games, guys are even more banged up, and then next year, you're kind of running into the same conversation of, all right, like, how are you guys feeling after a really long playoff run? For the Avs, this is good news, right? I mean, you're heading to vacation. It's healing the mind, body, and soul after a season like that, right? And it'll give the coaching staff a lot of time to digest and think about what they want to do. Because I touched on it earlier, but the Avs could go a lot of direction with the free agents they signed, keeping guys, letting guys go. You know, this is really a good cooling down period for the team, especially before the draft as well, to really kind of figure some of that stuff out. So, yeah, that's loser talk. If you're talking to someone who's only wants to win championships, but let's be realistic. I mean, winning back to back in the NHL is so, so hard. And it makes what the Lightning did, you know, before the Avs recent championship even more impressive. I mean, I don't know how you keep a group together like they did. Win multiple in a row. It just seems like such an incredible feat now that I've been around the sport and covered it long enough.
Well, yeah, that's the thing about hockey. It seems more difficult. Even if you're picked to win, I don't know if that's really worth that much. In the NBA, it's a little bit different. This year's kind of different, I guess. But
right.
In the NHL, you could be the heavy favorite, but that's not really heavy. I mean, because you could see upsets happen all the time. Well, Kyle, man, we appreciate you. You getting some time off, or are you going to be still? I know you're trying to dig in and get more information on this Val story, which I just love that you're doing this because we need to know. We want to know. But any time off coming up?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I'm a big fisherman. So, you know, over the next few months, if you can't get a hold of me, I'm probably on the water. So, and that's good with me. And yeah, long playoff run, also fun to cover. But from a media standpoint, all of us reporters, after, you know, just 1 7-game series, are like, whew, that's a lot of hockey in 14 days. So yeah, a little breather, not upset about it.
We'll hope you have a great time, some time off. And then, of course, as we see any moves coming up for the Avs, we'll be sure to reach out and get your thoughts.
Absolutely. Sounds good.
All right, man. Kyle Fredrickson, excellent work from him with the Denver Gazette all season long covering this Avs team. I mean, don't forget, if you go to his Twitter account and you follow him, his pinned tweet there on April 2nd was a deep discussion, as deep as you can get, I suppose, with Valerie, but it was a great read. More about who he is, his leadership style, everything. And then, of course, you get this story that we still don't really have that much on. It was the perfect storm, I guess, of bad things for the Avs this season. You know, Gabriel Landeskog, no Helm, no Cogliano in that last game, no Makar in game 5, no Manson, No Nichushkin after game two. If you're sitting here telling me today as an Avs fan, I don't want to hear it, then you don't understand. Because if the, let's just take guys that are equivalent to some of these guys. You know, you look at the Nuggets. If it's, if you take out Bruce Brown, you take out KCP, you take out even Unk, man. I mean, he's, Jeff Green's had some moments. Just start taking three, four, five guys out, and it makes a difference. Aaron Gordon might be the equivalent of a guy like Landeskog. I don't know. Because
when I think about last year's team and the team that won the Stanley Cup, it was everybody contributing.
You had your stars do star things, but everybody was there.
It was on the Taves, it was the Kadri, yeah. It was the O'Connors, all of these guys that they make one or two plays a game, but you know they were a part of that run.
Well, and again, that's part of it. Injuries, but you the guys you just mentioned with Taves, with Comfort, with some of these other guys, Jack Johnson, Eric Johnson, like Eric Johnson, I think, had his first goal of the season was in a playoff game. So they didn't contribute the way that they contributed last year. So you have that as being kind of in the mix here. This is what I'm saying, though. Like, the people that picked the Avs to win the series, clearly you thought what was on the ice was good enough, built by Chris McFarland, by Joe Sakic. But then when they lose the series, you come out and say, well, they screwed up. They got a lot of work. And I do. They do have work to do, but you can't have it both ways. You either thought they had the right stuff to win a hockey series, or they didn't. And a lot of you guys, I'm sorry, but you said they were going to beat the Kraken. They were. I liked Kyle said he thought they were going to win it in seven. A lot of local media was saying, oh, this is done in five. This is done in six, if that. But then when it didn't happen, you're blaming management. Don't blame management. I mean, I guess the easier thing to do, the thing that makes more sense is you blame Bednar, you blame players. But if you thought what Chris McFarland and Joe Sakic put together on the ice was good enough to beat the Kraken yesterday, then don't tell me today they failed. 12:42 the time. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, current NFL wide receiver for the Los Angeles Rams, and you're listening to The Whole Show on KFK.
Well, Friday afternoon, I took the day off to get a bunch of stuff done around the house, my wife's business, all this stuff. But my kiddo, you know, he wasn't feeling very good. And then suddenly we asked him what he wanted to do. We're like, do you want to go to the jumping park? Do you want to go to this? Do you want to go? What do you feel like doing, buddy? Shields. Make it happen, Cap'n. Shields. So we go to Shields. We go upstairs, get on the escalator, where we go. He loves going on that 20,000 times. It's just a blast for him. And then they've got the Lego store behind there. They've got the bowling alley. Shields has everything. And we just love working with them. They had their big hey, that would have been good for Kyle to know about their deals going on with all the fisherman stuff, getting all your gear and everything. What don't they do? That's what I should probably make my live reads, is basically talk about what they don't do. And I can't tell you right off the top of my head. I mean, they don't have a movie theater in there, I guess, but they have about everything else. That's Shields in Johnstown. Tell them we sent you. Scream it from the rooftops. When you're in there on the Ferris wheel, scream it out. Heard it on the whole show. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Angel, look, my chair's sinking. Look at this. The chair's sinking. Does this happen to Tanner?
I think so.
Yeah?
He usually corrects it fairly quickly, so you don't often notice it.
Look at this. Oh, there we go.
But you guys are off. You guys complain about it. Is it a drastic change? And
it bothers. Well, because your feet suddenly are like this, you know, and it's uncomfortable for me. I can't. It drives. I'm just going to let it go all the way down. My chin is on the desk.
You have three other chairs in there.
Well, I used to play the musical chairs game because I would like a certain chair in here. Tanner would like a certain chair. Brian wanted a certain chair. Bruce wanted a certain chair. And then the night guys come in sometimes. They want different chairs. The Brew Talk guys, Preps Rewind with Daniel. I finally gave up the battle because I'd move the chair, and then every day I'd come in, it was a different chair. So I finally just said, fine, sinking chair it is, guys. We'll sit in the sinking chair.
It's just very unique that... We don't have all the same chairs.
No, are there three different types of chairs in here?
I think in there, and then there's two different chairs in here that Micah and I switch out.
I don't know why this place does that. And listen, the owner, Damon, great guy. He'll buy a set of chairs, amazing chairs. And then just over time, I think the staff just starts removing a chair, putting a new chair in. They take the chair for their office, and then they move this chair for the studio. And then the chair, we just have this weird chair game going on. And it's, so
if you
it's
have
just
the other
bizarre.
Two chairs in here that match the studio chairs, bring them back.
Yeah, if you find them.
OCD is just tripping
oh,
right now.
Oh, it drives me insane, too. The Weld County Swami, I understand in the long run this will be better for the Avs, but for it to be said, this is good for the Avs to lose in the first round is mind-boggling to me. I don't know if that's exactly how it was. Like Kyle, I don't think he was saying, yeah, I'm rooting for this team to lose the first round, but he's looking at it going, all right, as hard as that was with all the stuff going on with this team, were they going to get past the second round? I don't. Maybe would they would have.
Would you rather have a Game 7 loss or a Game 7 win, but then you lose the next round in five games?
Yeah. I'd rather more playoffs better. But to me, I want to see them. But I get the reason why you say this is this team needs to get right. And they're not right at this point. You know, but I'm always of the belief if you can get in, you got a shot, go for it. 49 minutes after the hour. Shout out to Renaissance Insurance Group in Windsor. My guy, Ryan, he and his partner, they formed this thing 20 years ago. Two UNC Bears alumni got together and did this. And when I met Ryan the first time at Cables, where my friends meet, Ryan became an instant friend. And he's a good dude. He's a big supporter of UNC Athletics, a big supporter of this community. And so that's what I say, man. There's a lot of insurance businesses all over the country, all over the state, all over northern Colorado. How do you choose which one? How about a guy that you can trust that you know is big into the community, that truly cares about the people in this community? You're not just a number, and I mean that. That's Renaissance Insurance Group in Windsor, their go-to for workers' compensation and farming operations, risk management, commercial and personal insurance needs. That's Renaissance Insurance Group in Windsor, 970-674-8825. That's 970-674-8825. 1250 the time. We'll wrap up hour number two. Chris Dempsey coming up in the second hour, or third hour, excuse me. More on the Nuggets Suns preview. We'll start to break into that more. Game two, can the Nuggets go up 2-0? 2-0, 2-0, whatever. Is it happening tonight in Denver? We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The Avs will have to consider moving on from Val. I mean, this is a, what is his contract situation, right? They just extended him last year. Didn't they re-sign him? Again, we don't know what he did. I do believe the innocent till proven guilty, but it was bad enough to miss, what, game three, game four, game five, game six, game seven? Five playoff games? It's bad enough to miss five playoff games. This isn't just, like I said, five games in the regular season is five games in the regular season. We can live with that. You can move on. Well, he wasn't with the team. What's his contract situation?
So back in 2022, he signed an 8-year contract extension.
Okay.
So that goes to 2029-30 season.
And, I mean, do you trade him? Do you... I just this can't be good, Angel. We're not going to get good news out of this story. He left the team in the playoffs and missed five playoff games. There's nothing that we're going to read, I don't believe, in a month where it's like, oh, it was all a big misunderstanding. Then why didn't he play? If he was legally allowed to play, then why didn't he play?
Who is this woman?
Who is this woman?
What is the connection? We have this happened in this place that Nichushkin was supposedly at with the team. but suddenly he's not there. He's not with the team. He's not at the hotel. There's a woman in this room. We don't know how she got here. She's very, very messed up. This is just weird.
It is.
And maybe the Avs don't, maybe they just don't have the information to give us.
Or, yeah, right.
I don't think the NHL would just stand by and let this, that'll just play itself out.
Kyle had alluded to, you know, the Avs are being very mum on this, very hush-hush on this, because is there involvement that they're not prepared to talk about just yet? I mean, was there some kind of team party? I mean, again, there's no team party. There's no way that that's happening. You know, I don't think. Like, these guys are serious. It doesn't mean they can't go out and drink and stuff, but I don't think there's a hotel party.
If they're at the hotel bar and they're all sharing a couple drinks before they go up to their rooms or whatever, but that's just assumptions.
It was just a strange thing, man. It's just very strange.
They found her the morning of Game 3.
So she had been there the night before then, probably, right?
Seattle the night before.
So wouldn't that lead you to believe? Again, I know we're not supposed to speculate that much, but we don't know anything. We still don't know anything, and it was frustrating. And now you got to talk about what the future looks like with the Avs and Valerie Nichushkin. 12:57 the time. Third hour coming up. We'll talk Nuggets Suns next. Don't go anywhere.